At the turn of the new century, Dayton, Ohio was a busy, prosperous city with growing businesses and expanding neighborhoods. East of downtown was Emerald Street, so named because it was considered a gem of a street. Only a block long, it consisted of gracious homes with wide porches and well-maintained gardens. One end of the street bordered a small park, the other end was crossed by 3rd Street with trolleys that stopped on the corner. As in other neighborhoods, residents of Emerald Street developed close relationships over the years. The newest resident on the street was a retired naval officer, Captain Rupert McIntyre. The captain had purchased a large home at the end of Emerald for himself and his wife, who sadly lived there only a few months before her passing. On most mornings, another resident of Emerald Street, Harold Johnson, walked his youngest child Mary to school before taking a trolley to the Journal Herald building downtown. Yet another trolley carried David Stewart the opposite direction to his employment at the National Cash Register Company. An elderly couple, the Goldblatts, often went to the Reichskimmel department store, where Mr. Goldblatt studied the merchandise, ensuring it carried the same high-quality standards put in place when he worked there. Perhaps with the exception of the good Captain McIntyre, all the residents of Emerald Street passed each day in the various manners they had become accustomed to, routines no one in the neighborhood saw any reason to change. They could not know that in 3 short days, the street they called home would cease to exist. This is the story of those 3 days, the end of Emerald Street. The last normal hours of existence on Emerald Street in Dayton, Ohio, came on the evening of Saturday, March 23, 1913. It had been a sunny day filled with the promise of an early spring. David and Caroline Stewart had just finished supper early so they could walk to the park before dark, one last chance for their children Matt and Lily to stretch their legs before bedtime, their baby bundled and sleeping in the stroller. Nearby, neighbors worked in their yards or sat on porches watching the world pass by.
Ah, the Stewart family, on an evening's constitutional.
Good evening, Captain.
Mr. Stewart, come up to the porch, if you would. Allow me to show you these weather calculations.
Calculations?
We're just going for a walk around the park. David, we should not be out late.
Of course, of course. Just a few moments of your time, sir. A rather urgent matter.
Just for a few minutes.
Really, darling, please. Only for a few minutes. For certain this time.
Captain, we really do need to get the children to bed.
Of course. I will be brief. Here, take a look at this report. It's the weather forecast for the next few days. Truly remarkable. Look at these weather maps. I'm sure you find it as disturbing as I do.
I'm not sure that I do. What am I looking at here?
There are 3 air fronts converging over this area. Do you know what this will mean?
We will have a lot of air?
There is a storm front coming from the Gulf of Mexico. That alone could bring us a great deal of rain, but there's also a cold air front coming down from Canada at the exact same time. Finally, a 3rd one, a windstorm coming west from Nebraska. Nasty one. Hit Omaha as a tornado last Sunday. I have never seen this before. It is unprecedented. When these 3 storm fronts collide, the rain will last for days, perhaps an entire week. If it does so, there will be a flood of biblical proportions. In Dayton.
Biblical proportions. Are you suggesting that we build an ark?
Being an engineer yourself, you understand the implications. Such a large volume of water in such a short period of time. Being a newcomer, I don't presume to question the wisdom of the founding fathers in building a city on a floodplain. What is done is done. Please consider taking your family to higher ground quickly. I will remain here. Weathered out many a storm in my day, but for a man with family as you are, caution should be the wisest course of action.
When you moved to Dayton, I hope you were warned of the occasional flooding here. Over the years, we have learned to cope with it rather well, but thank you for your concern. My family is waiting.
Of course. It must not keep the children from a good walk, but feel free to come by and look at these maps for yourself at any time. Perhaps you prefer to make your own calculations.
No need. I am sure your figures are accurate. Good evening, Captain. Well, he was brief. He has a little desk on his porch, covered with papers and maps.
Really? Is he planning on traveling?
No, nothing like that. He's worried about weather changes.
I wondered what he had been doing for the last couple of days. He has been acting strangely. Yesterday, several times, he was standing in his yard staring up at the sky. He is a lovely gentleman, but a little odd. What did he say exactly?
Apparently, we are in for a rainstorm.
That is hardly news. It is March.
He feels it will be a rainstorm of biblical proportions, to quote him exactly. Gave me the impression we should start to build an ark and gather up the animals two by two.
Animals? Can we keep them? Maybe we could have a barn like Grandpa has.
Lily, you have a cat. That is quite enough.
Captain McIntyre was in the Navy. He watches for storms constantly because he was on ships. Storms are very dangerous in the middle of an ocean, and Dayton is on solid ground.
The water can rise terribly fast. On the farm, the fields could flood in a matter of minutes. It is something to be cautious about. If it does storm badly, downtown might get water. I may keep Matt and Lily home from school on Monday if that happens.
I hope it rains forever.
Staying home means doing your schoolwork with me. Bad weather is not a reward.
It is nothing to be concerned about. Every spring, the Great Miami River rises. That's why Dayton has levees.
What's a levee?
Years ago, people piled tons and tons of dirt up on the riverbanks and built it up high. They made hills that are like walls along the river. When the river rises every spring, those walls hold the water back. The river only goes where we want it to go.
You know, that nice walkway beside the river, where lots of people ride their bicycles and walk their dogs. That is the levee.
Yoo-hoo! Matthew, you are the young man I was looking for. Do you need to earn some money? You can come over next week and spade my garden.
You're putting in your garden already, Mrs. Goldblatt, in March.
I'm just getting the ground ready. This spring's been so unseasonably warm. With all this rain we've been having, it's soaked out the frost. The ground is completely saturated with nice warm water. I may put in my garden 1st of April if it stays this nice.
It has been an unusual spring. Even the clouds seem different this year.
We haven't seen the last of the rain. Captain McIntyre is predicting a huge rainstorm within the next few days. You would be paying Matt to play in mud.
Oh, we heard all about it. He came over this morning to urge us to flee to higher ground.
North Dayton wouldn't know it was spring unless there was a little water in the streets.
Well, hey there. A little late in the evening for a walk. It's almost dark.
Hello, Harold.
Heard you talking about a big rainstorm coming in. Captain McIntyre is right. Everyone down at the newspaper is already talking about it. We're printing the story tomorrow. Front page. Three major rainstorms all coming together right over this town.
Speaking of your newspaper, I am ready to cancel my subscription. I don't know why I bother to read about our vainglorious Mayor Palmer. Exactly why. Every time that man cuts a ribbon or kisses a baby, is it considered front page news?
I just print them. I don't explain them.
Did you read yesterday's editorial? When did Dayton, Ohio become its own monarchy? Perhaps we shouldn't bother with an election. Just crown the mayor as our king and be done with it.
Yes, David, and when you become a newspaper publisher, I'll be happy to come and work for you. You should be pleased. The weather knocked the baby kissing off the front page. It's going to be a major storm, no question about it. I'm getting prepared.
What are you going to do?
A little light camping. I'll stay at work until the storm is over. My building is on high ground, but you never know what could happen. If the roof starts to leak, I can call in an extra crew to move equipment away from any drip. The roof seems pretty tight, but you never know when a heavy rain comes. Even a little water can damage that equipment.
You plan to stay the night there? How do you sleep in a noisy printing plant?
It's not as bad as it sounds. I'll just put a cot and a hot plate in one of the back rooms and call it home for a few days. Oh, Caroline, just do me a favor, will you? Look in on Lucy and the children for me. I suspect after being cooped up in the house alone for a few days, she'll be at the end of her rope.
Who is at the end of her rope? Harold, supper is nearly ready. Come in and wash up.
Harold was telling us he's going to stay at work for a few days. Are you comfortable with
that? Oh, now, it's nothing to fuss about.
Oh, of course not. Well, if there is a week of rain and the boredom becomes too much, come by for a visit. It is an open invitation. We can keep each other company. Who knows? This could end up being fun after all.
I will bring over supper. We can all dine and visit together in the middle of a rainstorm. Let's make it perhaps Tuesday.
Bringing over supper? Well, thank you. Tuesday it is.
We could have a talent show.
I'm not singing.
No one asked you to sing. This is my show.
No, it's not. You thought of it, but it's not just yours.
Children, please do not start fighting already. I will have to invite the captain over as well.
Caroline, that is very thoughtful.
Well, what else can we do? He has no family in Dayton. He moves here, and less than a year later, his poor wife passes away. He should not have to sit alone in that big, empty house waiting out a rainstorm. He needs to be included.
Harold, Captain McIntyre and all the neighborhood children, all together, all in the same house. It looks like you'll miss a good time.
David, you're breaking my heart.
I know it is. Any room in your warehouse for me?
No. You stay here and you listen to the captain. You know, he's filled to the brim with stories.
Indeed. All of which I have heard at least twice.
Stay strong, my friend, and you will endure.
Caroline, I'll be happy to help you organize the supper party. Harold, we need to get in.
Yes, it does look like it's starting to rain.
Oh, please, not yet. If it rains tomorrow, they may have to cancel the Easter parade.
Oh, no, not after all that effort, all that planning. Oh, what a disaster.
If we get that storm tonight, you may have to parade your Easter bonnet up and down on the front porch.
No, it's not the same thing at all. I would rather pack it up and keep it for next year.
The rainfall began slowly and softly that Saturday night. At first, it seemed nothing more than an early spring rain. Yet by Sunday, the rain poured down on the city in sheets. The rainfall was so heavy at times that it was difficult to see more than a few feet ahead, and the city seemed to grind to a halt. The wind grew stronger, rising quickly in angry waves. Wolf Creek, Mad River, Stillwater River, and Miami River all fed runoff water into the Great Miami River that surrounded the city on three sides. Even the normally placid canals that cut across the city on the fourth side began to swell and produce waves that spilled into streets. City employees who measured the rising water around Dayton began speaking among themselves in low, worried voices. Sunday was only the beginning.
Good heavens, who is out in this rain? Oh, Lucy, look at you. You're soaked.
Oh, Carolyn, the water is overflowing in the streets. I wanted to come and tell you the telephones are not working. I tried to call you a few minutes ago. The line was completely dead.
The phone lines are probably down all over Dayton. How are we going to grow as a city if we cannot maintain basic services?
Yes, dear.
That's why we need to hire a city manager, not have the mayor's drinking buddies on city council calling the shots. Enough of all the backroom deals.
Yes, dear.
What exactly makes telephone lines in this town drop with every gust of wind? It is not technology, it is corruption. If they had put those lines up right in the first place, maintained them correctly, we could use telephones even in a rainstorm.
You are preaching to the choir, dear.
I would vote for the city manager if I could, but I'm not permitted to vote. I depend on Harold to represent me in the voting booth, which he never does, so there you have it. Oh, Carolyn, they've canceled the Easter parade for this afternoon.
Oh, I thought that they would.
Captain McIntyre came by a short while ago, when he saw Harold going to work on Sunday with his overnight case.
We couldn't stop him if we tried. Harold is bound and determined to get the newspaper printed out on schedule, come hell or high water. As a longtime reader, I see no reason for it, but he is stubborn.
Well, downtown could be flooded. It has happened before. Well, what would he do then?
It is nothing to worry about. The last time downtown flooded was almost 50 years ago. All that happened was some parts of downtown had 3 or 4 feet of water for a day or so. Harold could walk out of a flood if he had to.
But the storm has not come yet.
Not come yet? What do you mean? It has been raining all day.
Yes, but 3 storm fronts are converging, and this is only the first. This is the storm from the Gulf of Mexico. That is why the captain was so concerned.
I do not understand. It's raining cats and dogs out there. How could it get worse?
Well, the storm from the west that caused all those terrible tornadoes is rolling in tonight. A third one from the north a few hours later. If what the captain says is correct, then tonight will be much, much worse than this.
Worse? How could it be worse? I can't even see across the street. The rain is so heavy.
Just ignore Captain McIntyre. I respect his service in the Navy, but that hardly excuses rushing over when Harold is gone and upsetting you like this.
I am not upset. I've been through high water before.
Well, of course you have.
I don't mind the captain, but he is upsetting the children. Now they keep asking if Daddy will come home from work because it's raining. Children have such vivid imaginations. They're discussing building a boat out of Lincoln logs to rescue him.
Well, come over first thing in the morning. I will keep Matt and Lily home from school, and you do the same with Mary and the boys. They'll think it's a holiday.
Oh, yes, yes. Try not to think about it. Everything will work out if I just don't panic. I know I'm being silly. You know Harold. He'll come back when he's good and ready and not a minute before. Well, I have to go before the children worry about me as well.
I'll see you first thing in the morning. We'll have a wonderful day together. Goodbye.
Damn that McIntyre.
Do you think he was right? We need to be worried. Will there be flooding downtown?
Of course there will be flooding downtown. You'd not need to alarm her. What can she do about it?
It's not like Lucy to panic like that. Something is different this time. She knows it. I've seen the Goldblatts watching the rainfall from the front porch. I suspect they are becoming uneasy as well by this heavy rain.
Harold is able to take care of himself.
Do you think you should go down and tell him to get back here? Tell him the telephone lines are down and Lucy is very nervous. He should come home.
That is ridiculous. Flood or not, he still has to support a family.
A family that is worried about him. He's only a few blocks from the river.
His building and equipment are major assets. He is not going to walk away and leave them to be damaged or vandalized.
David, are you going up to the hill on Monday?
That is where the National Cash Register Company is located. That is where I am employed and where I hope to remain employed. So yes, I am going to work tomorrow.
Well, you transfer trolleys downtown. What if there is water in the streets by tomorrow?
Mr. Patterson is not going to cease all operations at NCR over a few feet of water.
You may not even be able to get in. What if you get trapped downtown as well?
I will walk up to Slauson Avenue and go up the other way. Stay on the high ground. It will take twice as long, but that way I will bypass downtown completely. I guarantee Mr. Patterson will be at NCR. If he is there, we are there. For the last time, there is nothing to worry about. Tomorrow is just another day.
You're listening to The End of Emerald Street, an original radio production from WYSO and the Living History Theater Company. Our program will continue in just a moment. Return to The End of Emerald Street on 91.3 WYSO.
Sunday evening, March 24, 1913, saw the rain begin to taper off. The citizens of Dayton sighed in relief and finally went to bed. Most city employees who had pledged to remain on duty were sent home. But by early Monday morning on the 25th, it appeared that every drop of water left in the sky was released in one fell swoop as the storms converged over Dayton, Ohio. Finally arriving at the National Cash Register Company, Dave Stewart begins a very wet workday.
Stewart, there you are. You're late.
Yes, I am. I'm also soaked to the skin. I'm leaving small pools of water wherever I walk. Note my trail from the front door. All of the streets are flooded. They had to rearrange the streetcar routes. My umbrella could not stand the strain. It was reduced to shreds and is floating somewhere down a rain gutter. Can you give me any happy news?
I don't know the meaning of the word right now. I barely got in myself. He has been down here 3 times looking for you.
Well, that puts a topper on the day.
He's talking to himself, walking down the hall, holding an umbrella over his head.
He gets lost in thought sometimes. Work here long enough and you will get used to it.
Between you and me, sometimes Mr. Patterson seems sharp as a tack, doesn't miss a thing. Other times he seems crazy as a loon.
Do not underestimate him. He is brilliant. Bought this company when it was nearly bankrupt. Now every business in the country will have a cash register. His cash registers. He is determined about that.
You better get going. Don't bother to dry off.
Why not?
He's on the roof.
On the roof? In this rain?
Loons like their water.
Ah, Mr. Stewart. Thank you for joining us. Do you know my assistant, Mr. Behringer?
Yes, of course.
Nice to see you again. I wish it were under better circumstances.
Mr. Stewart, I wish to solicit your professional opinion. I realize this is not your area of expertise, but I'd like you to inspect the levees and estimate where and when they begin to collapse.
What?
Let me rephrase. An educated guess as to the time and place the levees will fail.
Those levees are over 100 years old. They have never failed, never, in the history of this city.
Indulge my small whim.
I do not understand. Why would the levees fail?
The river is already close to flood stage.
The river has flooded before. The levees have always held.
The storm is not just located in Dayton. There's heavy flooding reported for hundreds of miles to the east, north, and west. All of the land is sloped to us. That means the floodwater is coming here.
If the levees collapse, the river will take its natural route, which is straight down through the center of the city. Take my motor car down to the levees. Inspect them to the best of your abilities. I want your first-hand account of what shape the levees appear to be in. Mr. Behringer will drive you. Please, leave at once. Report back as soon as possible.
In the Journal Herald building on the other side of town, Harold Johnson and a co-worker are about to discover that the storm's impact is already affecting the city's residents.
Harold. Hey, Harold, come upstairs. Take a look at this.
Jesse, what are you doing upstairs?
Oh, come on up. Take a look at this. It's unbelievable. Take these binoculars. Here. You see? Look over there.
Ah, that red-tailed hawk is back yet. Huh.
No. Not the hawk. Look over there, past the roofs, over near Stillwater Creek. See those houses over there?
Now, wait, Jesse, come on. What am I looking at? What am I looking at over there?
Look carefully at the roofs. The houses over there, across the river.
Well, that's... I can't see... Wait. Oh, my God. What is that? Is that people? On the roofs?
Well, it has to be people. What else would be moving like that?
Well, that doesn't make any sense. What's going on?
No, I'm sure of it. Those folks on the lowlands, they know how to evacuate from a flood. They're experts on the subject. How did they get stuck on their roofs?
The creek must have been rising so fast they couldn't get out in time.
That has to be it.
Those people up there must be freezing, sitting on a roof in the rain in March?
Oh, they'll probably be rescued in a few hours. They're going to be pretty miserable until then.
At least we're publishing a flood warning. Now, that's why I was looking for you. We got a special edition to get out. At least we're warning people outside of the lowlands to take precaution.
Yeah, I better get this set.
You know, we might as well send the crew home early.
Are you sure that we have the special edition to run?
I won't need a full run. I'm sure we can handle this one ourselves.
This is it. This is Mr. Patterson's motor car.
Not a very fancy automobile.
He's not a very fancy man.
I do not know what I'm looking for exactly. In this rain, I might not see much.
Let us just hope there's not much to see.
I still do not completely understand this concern. I have seen the reports. Those levees have always passed inspections.
That would not be as hard as you would think.
What do you mean?
Those inspections were not as rigorous as they could have been. Everybody likes good news. Be the one delivering the bad news and see where it gets you.
Are you saying those inspection reports are lies?
You are the one saying it. I am only implying it.
Go along the river through downtown, up Monument Street. Follow the levee up to Steel Dam. It gives me a place to start, at least. Look on the levee. There has to be hundreds of people up there. Stop over there. I have an idea. I want to go under the bridge. The levee may be dry under there. Let me see what it looks like.
You want me to come with you?
Just for a couple of minutes. This section of the levee will be out of the rain.
What am I looking for exactly?
I do not know exactly. Just walk along the levee wall. Let's see what we've got here.
Feel this. It's mud.
Where?
Right here, at the bottom. Is it runoff?
It's too far down. It's not rainwater either. It's right here in the center. The bridge walls are dry. The rain did not get in.
The levee wall, it's damp. Strange. It's muddy right at the bottom with dry soil on top of it. Why is the levee wall wet at the base and dry on the top?
Dampness is on a level plain, not streaks. It is not rainwater coming down. It is seepage coming up.
The river water is seeping through the levee?
That's the only way I can explain this. The angle is not river water cresting at the height of the wall. The pressure of the water is so immense it is pushing against the wall. The water is seeping through at the base.
I see it. All along here, like a line of dampness. We have to get a crew out here to fix this.
You cannot fix something like this. This is just one spot. We can't tell in the rain, but I am betting the conditions are the same all up and down the levee. Some spots are weaker than others, but the entire levee is getting the pressure.
How do you stop it?
You cannot stop this. Just hope the levees hold until the walls can be reinforced. That could take months, maybe years to do.
If this rain continues, the river is going to come over the top of the levee tonight.
If that was the only problem, maybe we'd have a few feet of water downtown. If the river flows over the top of the levee and is also seeping in through at the bottom, it can't stop the water. It would be like holding back a raging river with a pile of mud. We have to get back. I have seen enough.
Mr. Stewart, Mr. Beringer, you return so soon. Good. I am just walking into a conference. Please join me. Mr. Stewart, your educated guests?
Levees are experiencing severe erosion.
You agree, Mr. Beringer?
I do indeed, Mr. Patterson.
When will the levees collapse?
Flood level is at 23 feet. That is the level where the river will spill over. I would time the collapse to that point.
The river appears to be rising at approximately a foot an hour. At this point, it is about 14 feet.
Then about 9 hours to plan for a flood.
I wish I could give you a better answer.
I do not expect a better answer, only the correct one. Gentlemen, good to see you all on such short notice. We have an urgent matter at hand, so we will dispense with an agenda. I have consulted with an engineer. He has been to the river and reports disturbing news. If this rain does not stop soon, and there is little chance it will, the river will crest at flood stage.
What does this have to do with NCR? We're located on a hill, not even close to the river.
This city has survived only by the grace of God. I believe it is time to turn to our own efforts. In a major flood, drinking water will be a problem. The river water will be filthy. Redirect our engineers to maintain our company wells. They must be kept running all night. Store as much clean water as possible. Also, redirect the cafeteria to bake bread and make soup, just bread and soup, on double shift all night. Have the medical supplies in the dispensary inventoried. Send out employees to buy up all the medical supplies they can find. Blankets, towels, warm clothing, all sizes. Charge it all to the National Cash Register Company. I am sure our credit is good. As of this moment, I declare NCR temporarily out of commission and proclaim this Mr. Behringer, a name. Give me a name.
A name? What about the Dayton Citizens Relief Association?
Excellent. Says it all. Have a sign made. Set up registration desks at the main entrance. No doubt there will be a great confusion in the beginning. I dislike confusion, Mr. Behringer.
Yes, Mr. Patterson, we are aware of that. We'll set up relief stations with signs throughout all the building. Since we are on the highest hill in the city, I assume none of our buildings will be flooded. We can utilize them all.
There are still people standing on the levees.
It should be obvious to everyone what is happening.
Clearly it is not, Mr. Patterson.
We can assume that many who are flooded will not be able to arrive here on their own. We will need rescue boats, and very quickly.
The shipping department has large wooden crates for packing several registers together. Those could be sawed in half, heightened and narrowed on the ends to create a small boat. Not fancy, but it would be sturdy.
Excellent suggestion. Work out the details with the shipping supervisor. Mr. Stewart, you have always shown a great deal of initiative. I admire that about you. Therefore, I would like to place you in charge of the actual rescue operations. I cannot tell you what that will involve at this point. I am confident that you will rise to the occasion.
I do not know what to say.
Yes, would be the appropriate response.
Yes, Mr. Patterson.
I am sure you will give consideration to possible delays arriving to work under flood conditions. I believe I will see you at work precisely on time tomorrow.
Of course, Mr. Patterson.
Ah, 5 o'clock. Time to leave. Gentlemen, have a safe trip home. I will see you in the morning. Get adequate rest. Tomorrow will be a busy day.
Lucy, what a beautiful princess costume. I wish I could sew like you.
Yes, but there was only supposed to be one princess.
In our dramatization, there had better be two.
You don't have enough material for another costume.
Oh, well, I have this old sheet. Just cut it, hem it, and wrap it around Mary. Tell her she's the princess of the snowfall.
Oh, thank goodness small children are easily fooled. Now, where did they all go?
The children have drafted Captain McIntyre to play the role of the woodsman. They're out looking for a suitable hat for him.
Well, lunch was hours ago. I thought he would leave.
So did I. But I am the one who insisted he join us for lunch, so I can hardly order him out.
Oh, Carolyn, you must have noticed. He was drinking out of that hip flask at lunch when he thought we weren't looking. He nearly fell off his chair. I believe the captain is three sheets to the wind, and I'm not referring to his illustrious naval career.
I know, and it is not exactly New Year's Eve. At least the children don't understand. They think he is just cheerful.
Well, what are we going to say when he comes back?
Nothing. He has a sweet spirit, and he must be drinking because he is unhappy.
Perhaps he's perfectly happy. Perhaps he drinks because he likes to drink. That is always the possibility.
Here I am, ready for my role.
Oh, my God.
Captain, what on earth are you doing with an axe?
I found this in your cellar. I'm undertaking the role of the woodcutter, and I cut wood. It is called realism.
Give me that before the children come back and see it. Lucy, give him a pencil to wave around.
In his condition, I wouldn't trust him with that either.
What in the world were you doing in the cellar?
This house was probably built before the rest of the houses on the street, back when they built houses to last for generations. Nothing is going to move this foundation. It is the safest house on the street. If there is any flooding, the Goldblatts should come here. Their house is set up on poles. Crawl space you could charge a herd of buffalo through. If a major flood hit that house could float down the street like Huck Finn's raft.
Oh, Captain, don't be silly. There's never been a flood in this area.
Yes, so I have heard. Well, thank you for lunch, Mrs. Stewart. I would love to stay longer, but it is nap time.
Oh, well, I put the baby down for his nap 20 minutes ago.
Not for him. Nap time for me. Goodbye, ladies.
Carolyn, do you suppose he could be right? Do you think there could be a flood in this area? Perhaps we should make up a plan.
Oh, I would rather not think about it until David comes home and brings it up as a topic of conversation.
What?
Well, I did not say it was a good plan. Well, all right, it is not a plan at all. Maybe just a habit I've developed over the years. David tends to concentrate on the bad news, while I tend to concentrate on the good.
Mama, come look, it's Grandpa driving Papa's motor car.
Matthew, we have spoken to you about why you must not tell stories.
It's true, Papa's motor car is right out front of the house.
Upstairs, young man. Come down when you are ready to apologize for making up stories.
Now, Caroline, he seemed rather excited about it. Aren't you even going to the window to look out?
My father would not get near David's motor car. When David bought it and wanted to store it at the farm, my father insisted on building a shed for it on the top of the hill, so when it blew up, it would not take the rest of the buildings with it.
Oh, no. It is there. It is his motor car. Look!
Oh, my goodness, it is my parents. What are they doing? Father? What are you and Mother doing here?
We barely got out alive.
What?
The farm. It's gone. The river just swallowed it up.
The river?
We first heard the horses. Then they knocked down the fence and ran away. I never saw anything like it. Your mother and I went outside to catch them. I turned and there was this wave of water coming from the mad river. It was over our heads.
It was like the river was reaching out to grab us.
I yelled at your mother, run, just run.
I didn't even get the chance to go back into the house and put on a coat. Thank heavens I brought the peach preserves.
Oh, you poor thing. You must be freezing cold.
We just started running, trying to get to high ground.
I heard crashing noise, the water against the house. I think it took the house off the foundation. I turned back, and when we got to high ground, the house was moving.
Oh, your house has been there for decades.
I didn't even want to look back. The cat and her new kittens, I didn't want to see.
Of course not.
The house is gone?
Everything is gone. The house, the barns, my rug.
I don't understand. What happened?
The river changed course. Everything's all underwater now. We managed to make it up the hill.
Only by God's will.
We came so close to drowning. We were running with the water up to our knees.
Oh, Father, no.
We went into the shed for shelter. I saw your husband's death trap under the tarp. I just cranked it up and got out of there. Maybe 5-10 miles an hour the whole way. Your poor mother was hanging on for dear life.
Oh, my life. I have never seen anything like this. It was as if the whole river changed course in a matter of a few minutes. We were suddenly in the middle of the river.
Oh, thank God you are alive. And you're so wet. You must be freezing. Come into the kitchen.
Yes, let's not talk any further. I'll make us some coffee.
Papa's home, and he is really mad.
Oh, no. Let me see him first. Let me try to explain everything to him. He's seen his motor car, I'm sure.
Nellie, please come and sit down in the kitchen.
We're so lucky to be alive.
We have lost everything. Everything.
Oh, now it's over, and you're safe, and that's all that matters.
Joshua, what did you do to my car? It is ruined. There is mud all over up in the engine. That is a delicate piece of machinery.
Delicate piece of machinery? I had a good look at it. It's a simple engine with a rotating rod, wheels, and a steering column.
It's far more than that. And what are you driving it? It's complicated.
Complicated? I could build one myself. I could make a fortune making those things to sell to naive men who want to throw away their money on a worthless toy.
A worthless toy? That motor car is the wave of the future.
Oh, only when they can build a piece of machinery with a common sense of a heart.
Stop it. You're arguing about mud on a machine and we have lost everything.
Lost everything? What do you mean?
The farm is gone.
What are you talking about?
Our entire farm is under a river now. Everything, the house, the barns.
I'm sorry, Joshua. I had no idea.
Did you buy a new stove? What's wrong with his old one?
Father, please, just tell him about the farm.
The old stove was wood-burning. This is gas. It has a pilot light.
Suddenly there's something wrong with wood?
There is nothing wrong with wood.
You threw away a perfectly good stove.
Yes.
For this.
Yes, I did. A perfectly good one, and it is gone.
You throw your money away just as quickly. You know, David, I know the day will come when you will lose it all and turn up on my doorstep with your hat in your hand, and for the sake of my dear daughter and grandchildren, I will take you in without a word of judgment or admonishment.
I cannot see that happening on either account.
Oh, look at the time. I think we should be leaving now.
David and I will walk you to the door. Darling, do not get so upset with my father with what he's saying. He thinks he's lost everything. He's not thinking right.
Well, I'm quite used to him. We all need to get to higher ground. If it continues to rain tonight, we need to get to safety.
The levee, you really think that...
They might give way.
No, they will not. They never have. They never will.
They could.
But it's not certain.
The river is not at flood stage yet. Only if it rains tonight.
Well, what if it stops raining? It looked like it would.
When the sun went down, the sky was light. The rain is letting up.
We don't know that. It is unpredictable.
I'm going home now. Harold may be back tonight, and I don't want him coming home to an empty house. Goodbye, Caroline. We had a nice time. We need to do this again.
Lucy, you cannot be alone. You have to stay.
No, I cannot stay. I want to go home.
Of course. When you feel better, come back. We will be here. I promise.
What are you promising her? We have to leave Dayton.
You said yourself the motor car is ruined. What if it stops running completely in the middle of nowhere? We do not know which trolleys are still running. Maybe none of them.
We have to go.
I put the baby to sleep an hour ago. He's still not over his cold. We cannot take a six-month-old baby out into a cold, rainy night. He could get pneumonia. I haven't packed any of the children's clothes. My parents are in shock. They think they're safe here. What can I say to them?
I am going for a walk.
Now?
I'm going over to the captain's house. He invited me to come over at any time to look at his weather calculations.
Is someone leaving? Is it David? Oh, did your father make him so angry?
Oh, he's all right. He just needs to check something.
Oh, we're making things worse. I know we are.
No, Mother, it's not you.
Well, what can I do to make things better?
I don't know how you can make things better. I'm going into the kitchen to start supper. I will have Father and the children help me. Will you quietly go upstairs to our room? There is a wooden chest. Open it, and there are some spare blankets and pillows. Take them upstairs into the attic. It's the little door at the end of the hall.
The attic? Is there room?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure of anything.
Of course.
Take some of the children's warm clothes up there as well.
Please, do not bother Papa with his talk of more floods.
And of course I won't.
Mama, Grandpa wants to be in our play, but he only wants to be the Wicked Wolf.
Oh, we're not doing the play tonight, sweetheart. The others left.
Why?
They will be back tomorrow. You can stay home from school and we'll do the play then.
Throughout the night, the citizens of Dayton, Ohio slept as it rained steadily on and the river rose higher. Several employees of the city remained at their posts to register the rise of the Great Miami River that weaved around the city. Flood level was estimated to be at 23 feet, and it was assumed it would be impossible to achieve overnight. By 2 a.m. on Tuesday, the river was at 18 feet 8 inches and still rising. The few city employees still awake at that hour began to call for mass evacuations. The NCR whistle began to blow every minute at 30-second intervals. Sextons were called out of bed to ring church bells. Police officers were sent to knock on doors to warn residents closest to the river as water slowly began to swirl about their feet. The vast majority of citizens, cursing their efforts, rolled over and went back to sleep. This morning finds David and Caroline Stewart weary from the previous day's events, but hopeful for the new day ahead. It will be but a few short hours before they see their hopes wash away.
What are you doing up so early? It's 4 in the morning.
Getting ready for work. Going in a little early today. At least the rain is slowing down.
I swear, I heard some bells or something. Did you hear them?
All I heard was the sound of your father snoring. I could hear him through the walls.
Well, thank you for being so patient with him. He can be difficult at times.
I am pleased someone else has finally noticed. You would think I would be used to it by now.
David, let me be honest with you about you and my father. All his life he has worked hard and barely made a living. You have achieved so much more with seemingly less effort. He thinks you have it too easy.
That is a shame. But I'm not going to give myself a miserable life just to make your father happy.
His farm is ruined. A lifetime of work wiped out in minutes. No wonder he is obsessing on our spending habits. Gives him something else to think about.
It may not be as bad as he first thought.
It's easy to jump to conclusions. It might be a bad storm, but not a disaster.
Last night you were convinced the levees would fail.
John H. Patterson is shutting down the entire company on my say-so. I saw some mud at the bottom of the levee. There could be a different explanation for it.
You know what you saw.
So he has shut down a major corporation over a rainstorm? What I might have done is make NCR the laughingstock of Dayton, perhaps the entire country.
Some adjustments were necessary, as a precaution.
No. John H. Patterson does not make minor adjustments. As of yesterday, the National Cash Register Corporation is temporarily out of commission. As of today, it is the Dayton Citizens Relief Association. They were putting up the signs when I left.
Mr. Patterson is a man who knows his own mind. It was his decision to turn NCR into a relief organization before anyone even asked him to do so. How would he blame you for simply agreeing with him?
He once terminated an executive by putting his desk and chair on the front lawn and setting it on fire.
I agree. Mr. Patterson is eccentric.
It is not just Patterson. When did I become an expert on flood control engineering?
We all know something is wrong. The farm is under the river, not a few inches of water. My father may be many things, but crazy is not one of them. He saw his house, his barns, disappear. Everyone says what they want, but I believe you, and I believe him, and I know something is going to happen today that is not going to be good. That may be all we know, but at least we know that.
I need to get to work. Mr. Patterson has put me in charge of the rescue boat operations. Hopefully, that will mean I play cards and swap jokes with the boys in the woodworking shop all day.
If anything does happen, just remember, I grew up around the Mad River. If the city floods and you have to send people out in rescue boats, tell them do not be deceived by the depth of the water. Even if the water is not deep, the current can be dangerous, unpredictable. People can drown in even a few feet of water if the current is strong enough to drag them under. They should not assume anything.
That is putting the cart before the horse. By tonight, it may be that Dayton is dry and there is egg on my face. Let us hope that is all that happens.
Off to work early today, Mr. Stewart.
What's that on your porch?
My latest acquisition, a canoe.
Why do you have a canoe on your front porch?
Defending and protecting the home front, sir, from all the elements. Go about your business, secure in the knowledge that I will remain on duty until your return.
Are you holding a flask? Have you been drinking all night?
No, not at all. Dozed off around midnight, woke up again around 3.
What are you going to do with that thing?
I've been inquiring about securing a good solid boat since Saturday. I recalled my wife's nephew had a canoe. Not exactly what I had in mind, but I make do. He brought it down for me last night on a wagon. I remembered the canoe because he brought it up to Lake Erie last summer. Very nice trip. The family is Catholic, you know.
Go upstairs to bed. The storm is just about over.
The storm is just about over, but the flooding has just begun. The levees will not hold. We both know that.
We do not know that for sure.
What we know is this entire city has put its faith in a pile of dirt.
Even if the levees break, we are situated on higher ground. Water will not get this far.
Then think of it as strictly a precaution.
Are you sure about this?
You need not be concerned. My experience is solid. Patrolled the Yangtze River in China for years. Evacuated missionaries during the Boxer Rebellion, for what that was worth. Did I ever tell you I served with Admiral Perry in the Philippines?
On several occasions, yes.
My wife followed me from one godforsaken post to another for 40 years. I told her that when I retired, I would buy her a house in Dayton. She could spend her twilight years among her childhood friends and family. That was her dream. She waited so patiently. I finally gave her that, and a fever took her in only a few months. Now my career ends with me commanding a canoe in landlocked Dayton, Ohio. Odd how one's life takes its turns. Oh, I forgot to tell you. When this is over, remember to turn on your gas again.
What?
I was invited to lunch at your house yesterday. I took the liberty of going into your cellar and switching off the gas line to your stove. If your wife used it for supper, that should have cleared out the last of the gas in the house line. If it floods and the gas line breaks, someone lit a candle or a lamp? It could blow the house sky high. Remember that for next time. Off with you now, you scamp. Go save your precious city. I only have the stamina to patrol these few blocks.
Are you going to be all right?
Of course.
I'll sit here with a flask of whiskey to keep the chill off and watch the water rise. I never was much for dry land, finding it less and less appealing the more I live on it. Goodbye, Mr. Stewart. It's been a pleasure.
A short time later at the Journal-Herald building, Harold and Jesse are just waking up to what looks like a promising day. The rain has dissipated, and like many residents in Dayton that morning, they're anxious to put the recent inclement weather behind them. They will soon learn that the worst was yet to come.
Hey, wake up, sleepyhead.
What time is it?
About 5:30, nearly dawn. Hey, good news. Rain's finally stopping. Looks like this mess is just about over. You want some coffee? Actually, it's not coffee. It was brown stuff baked in the bottom of the coffee pot. I just put in some hot water and swished it around.
I will take it.
Oh, I finished the special edition run? You're right. We didn't need to print the full number. Half the bundles are still sitting on the loading dock, ready to be picked up. One of the drivers told me Dayton's looking like a dry island surrounded by rising water. None of the outlying areas are going to come in to pick up the newspapers. Oh, and another driver told me the National Guard was called. Some of the guardsmen are trying to stop people from coming into Dayton. Some are trying to keep people from going out of Dayton. And the rest of them are just wandering around looking confused. They should have figured out what the plan was before they arrived.
Yeah, I suppose it doesn't really matter now. The storm nearly over.
Yeah, Dayton held up just fine. I went out and checked. There's barely any water in the streets.
After all that rain, the roof held tight, too. Not even a leak. Well, it looks like we got lucky this time. I'll wait till the morning crew comes in, and then I'm going to go home and sleep for a week.
Oh, that sounds like a good idea. This wasn't as much fun as you thought it would be, huh?
Sleeping on cots is like trying to sleep on a tree branch. Every time I rolled over, I nearly fell off. Plus, that damn NCR whistle blowing first thing this morning. I was ready to go right up that hill and wrap it around John H. Patterson's neck myself.
It was supposed to be a warning.
What? The rain is stopping. Thank you, Weatherman Patterson.
He wants us all to run for the high ground.
I'll bet, so he can slip in and install a new cash register when we're not looking. I had three salesmen call me last week. NCR decided I need a new register. I don't know how they came to that conclusion. Majority rules, I guess.
I know. If Patterson wants us to leave, I'm ready to stay put just to irritate the man. Let him know how it feels for a change. It'll be hours before we get the mock-up for the next edition. Want to go to breakfast?
Sure. Good idea. Why don't we walk over to Millie's?
Third Street Cafe is closer.
Oh, I like the breakfast at Millie's better. They got bigger portions, and I am starving. I'm treating myself this morning. Let's go and celebrate a dry town.
Take the walkway up on the levee, see how high the river got.
You mean where it crested? You think the river made it to the top of the levee?
Nah, that's what, 15, 20 feet up? Have you ever bicycled the entire length of the levee?
I never bicycle, period. I need more than two wheels.
Oh, it's so pretty up there on the walkway, bicycling or strolling on the levee in the early morning. That's the greatest place to be. I'm so glad the city has it.
Oh, my God. I've never seen the river this high up.
Oh, thank God it stopped raining. Look at all the things in the water. Hey, do you see that huge wagon? It's bobbing up and down like a little rubber duck in a bathtub.
If I hadn't seen this for myself, I would not have believed it.
Oh, boy, I wish I had a camera.
Look, a house is floating right down the river.
A what? Do you mean the current is strong enough to carry a house all the entire way down?
It has to be.
Let's just forget breakfast and get back. This is getting crazy up here.
I am soaked. I just want to go home and change.
Oh, look at this.
Look at what?
Look under your feet, Harold.
Well, that's just a trickle of water.
Where is it coming from?
It's coming from the river.
It's coming over the top. The rain may be stopping, but the river's still rising.
Still rising. 23 feet this levee is, and this river is still rising. This is going to get bad.
Oh, let's get back. Let's get our things, and let's clear out of Dayton.
If the day crew gets in, I may just dismiss them until this is over. I'm not going to risk anyone's life over a newspaper.
If the public wants their news tomorrow, I'm willing to deliver it by smoke signals. Let's get out of here.
Harold and Jesse made their way back to work while some of the town's residents lingered to watch the spectacle before them. Most citizens, determined to keep their daily routines, went about their business as small trickles of water rolled down the side of the levee onto Monument Avenue near Main Street. It was still one of the busiest streets in Dayton, and at precisely 7 a.m. on Tuesday, those small streams of water pushed together and the Great Miami River began to overtake the levee. It would not be grasped immediately, but within minutes, realizing what was to come, the crowd of onlookers turned and raced away. The force of the water quickly grew in strength, stripping the levee's sod and cement walkways, a mass of rock and earth rolling underneath the current. Then the panic began.
You're listening to The End of Emerald Street, an original radio production from WYSO and the Living History Theater Company. Our program will continue in just a moment.
Mr. Stewart, what was your impression yesterday regarding any civil evacuation of the downtown district?
Exactly what civil evacuation are you referring to, Mr. Patterson?
I assume the one progressing at a very rapid pace.
There was nothing that I personally observed, sir.
Nothing? Are you sure of that?
I am indeed. When Mr. Barringer and I went up to the top of the levee, we observed hundreds of people treating the river rising as some sort of a celebration.
Well then, we need not bother coordinating our efforts with city government. It appears there will be no duplication of effort. Mr. Barringer.
Sir, we just received word the levee has just collapsed near the Main Street Bridge next to Steele High School.
Exactly where Mr. Stewart predicted. Congratulations on your adherence to our high standards of accuracy.
I wish I had been wrong.
Mr. Barringer, organize a force of volunteers for rescue work, at least 300 employees. Start them immediately down the hill and align towards downtown. They are to remain at the high water mark, effecting rescues among the citizens able to get here on their own. Mr. Stewart, assign volunteers to rescue boats. Penetrate the flooded areas. Concentrate on moving people from precarious positions to safer ones, time being the critical factor. And nothing too risky. We need efficiency, not great drama. We will all meet again at noon to compare notes. Good luck, gentlemen.
As the city grappled with the crumbling levee along Monument Avenue and the slow rise of water in the streets of downtown Dayton, the inconceivable happened. At 8:35 a.m., a great section of levee, 350 feet long and 26 feet deep at the end of Taylor Street east of the downtown district, suddenly gave way. Instead of a slowly rising level of water, a 6-foot-high wave thundered into the streets, tossing streetcars into storefront windows, rolling motor cars like dice, and shaking buildings off their foundations.
What did you see?
Of course I'm all right. I just walked down to the corner.
But what's all that noise? Well,
there's a crowd of people running up 3rd Street.
Oh, I was afraid of this.
It's happening again. The river's coming.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure. There's a panic out there. There are horses galloping by without riders, motor cars with people hanging on the side of them. I stopped one man. He said the levee downtown had broke.
I'm going down to the corner and see for myself.
No, stay in here. It's dangerous out there.
This is my street. I know it, and I'm not afraid of it.
Oh, my God, the water's up to the front steps.
Mama, what's wrong?
Please, just take your sister and go upstairs.
We need to leave.
We need to take your husband's motor car. I can drive.
He's actually gotten quite good at it.
I have a few warm clothes packed. I will get them and the children, and we will leave immediately.
Don't take too long.
A few minutes, Mother.
The water is on the porch.
Oh, it can't be, not this quickly.
Yes, it can. It can happen very quickly.
It's coming in under the front door.
That's not possible.
Get upstairs.
We have to leave.
No, it's too late for that now. Go upstairs and calm the children down.
What about the furniture?
I'll stay down here and save what I can. Just get upstairs.
What is happening, Mama?
Nothing, sweetheart. There's just a little water coming in the house.
Can I go down and look?
No. Grandpa's staying downstairs to get a few things. He will call you if he needs you. There is a packed overnight bag on your bed. Take it upstairs to the attic.
The attic?
Yes, darling, the attic.
It may flood the cellar and be just a few inches on the first floor.
Well, that very well may be. Now let us get up to the attic.
Are you sure, dear?
No, Mother, I'm not. The levee did break, as David predicted it would, which means the Great Miami River is now running through the middle of the city. That's all I know at this point.
The water is on the second step. Do not come down.
Well, I have to help.
No, you do not.
Come upstairs. The water is up to your knees.
In a few minutes.
Father, please, just take the small painting off the wall in the dining room. It is a portrait of David's grandmother. I do not want to lose it. Everything else is replaceable. Just come up. I can see how fast the water is rising.
Here it is. Are you sure that's all you want?
That's all we'll need. Come upstairs quickly before you get trapped down there.
Hurry, dear. The water's coming up the steps.
Oh, it's coming up to the second floor.
Go.
Do we have to come up in here? It's dark.
Oh, it's not dark. It's just a little gloomy. I think we have some candles in here in the box of supplies I brought up.
Only three?
Oh, that should be enough, I would think.
Then save them for later. We could be up here for a while.
Well, how long do you think?
Matt, stand on the table. Go up to the little window, look out, and tell me what you can see.
It's so crowded in here. All this furniture. Is this my Aunt Mabel's furniture I gave you when she passed away?
Yes, Mother, it is. We're just storing it up here for a while.
If you were not going to use any of this perfectly good furniture, you should have told me. I can give it to your sister Louise instead.
Well, we will need this furniture when we build a bigger house.
What on earth do you need with a bigger house?
Oh, well, Father, perhaps I will need one because this one is now full of water. And I will not be able to borrow your furniture because yours is underwater as well.
Do not use that tone of voice with us, young lady. My furniture, and this must be 3 years' worth of peach preserves.
Now just calm down. We're safe and dry. Matt, look through the window again. Can you see anyone else out there?
It's Papa's motor car. It's moving in the water, floating like a little boat.
Oh, dear. Your father will not be pleased.
We can fix it later. What else do you see?
I see Mr. Goldblatt. He has a ladder. He and Miss Goldblatt are climbing to their porch roof.
Oh, my goodness. I forgot they do not have a second story. They can't sit out in the cold rain for hours.
It may be worse than that. The water might get past the roof. It's still rising.
They could drown out there. We must do something.
What can we do? We're trapped, too.
Oh, they cannot stay outdoors with no food or blankets. Matt, do they have anything with them?
I don't see anything. Wait, I see Captain McIntyre. He's paddling a canoe over to them.
A what?
A canoe.
He doesn't have a canoe.
He does now. The Goldblatts, they are waving to him. He's putting them in his canoe.
Oh, tap on the window. Wave. Let them know we're here. They can come here.
Do we have any room?
Oh, we will have to find room. At least it's dry up here.
How will they get in? There's only that small window on the top. You can't fit anyone through that.
Well, I will go down to the second floor and open up the window at the end of the hallway. He can land on our porch roof and we can bring them in through the window.
But the water is already to the second floor. Look down the stairs. It has to be knee-deep down there.
So I will get wet up to my knees, Mother.
I'll go down there with you.
That water is cold and filthy.
Yes, Mother, it is.
Step down carefully.
Millie, it's water down there, not dynamite.
Oh, my. The water is so dark I can't even see the floor.
Well, move slowly. Push your foot out and feel first before putting your weight on it.
Look, Papa. Lily's bed is floating. Everything up here is ruined.
Beds can be replaced. The Goldblatts can't.
Here, help me with the window. It gets stuck. You really have to give it a good push to get it open.
Probably just needs a little oiling. Does your husband do any repair at all around here? Fixing this would probably take 5 minutes.
Father, please.
Oh, I see them. That must have been tricky to paddle a canoe in this current.
Hello? Over here. Bring them over here.
He heard you. He's turning the canoe around.
Oh, good heavens, they're drenched. Mrs. Goldblatt has just a shawl. She must be freezing. Here they come, right over here.
Put them right here on the porch roof. We'll have them climb up through the window.
Be careful.
Nice and slowly and steady.
Oh, thank God you were here. We thought you'd left. Oh, we thought everybody on the street had left. We didn't know where to go.
Captain, if you can, bring Lucy and the children over here. Harold is missing. She hasn't heard anything from him since Sunday. She must be frantic.
Of course. Wait here. We'll bring him in the same way through the upstairs window. Given the circumstances, I suggest we hurry through a prayer of thanksgiving.
Prayer? Captain, I didn't know you were a religious man.
Actually, I am not, but I've rescued so many missionaries over the years. Saying that has gotten to be a habit.
Well, all right then. Dear Lord, we thank you for our rescue.
Truly beautiful. That is enough. Thank you, brother. Time is wasting. I will see you all later.
We're going up to the attic. I'm sorry, it is rather crowded up there.
When I came over, I was going to bring supper.
Oh, we did not expect anything at this point. Here's the attic door. Watch your head, it's pretty small. Just up the ladder.
I'm fine. Had not been on a ladder in years. Now, twice in one day, and thankful for it.
The captain went to get Lucy and her children.
The children are just going to have to sit up on the furniture. They can sit on those chairs in the corner. Here, Lily, get up here.
Oh, my goodness, Lily, where are your shoes?
I forgot them. They're in my room.
Oh, how could you forget your shoes? It's freezing up here. There's no heat.
It's nothing to panic over. Here, sweetie, wrap your feet in my coat until we find something better for you.
Yes, Lily, just wrap yourself. We're just going to be making do. Just making do.
Across town at the National Cash Register Company, now operating as the Dayton Citizens Relief Association, David Stewart continues his work organizing rescue efforts. He is still unaware that his family and friends on Emerald Street are in danger.
All right, everyone, here are the boats we are using. Thanks to the gang in the shipping department, they are as ugly as sin, but will do the job. These boats have square-cut bows and sterns, so they will remain stable and not easy to flip over. Stay within sight of each other. We had 12 boats sink already. Keep that in mind. No one will rescue you if they cannot see you.
Mr. Stewart, the high water mark seems up the slope of Fairgrounds Hill.
We've decided to put more boats to the east towards Brown Street, Wayne Avenue, and Fifth Street. A lot of people got caught in this. There must be hundreds of people in the NCR building by now.
Thousands. There was a baby born in the executive lounge.
I am just so thankful the flood is confined to the south of the city.
What are you talking about?
The levee break was downtown. The current is moving south, back into the Great Miami on the other end of Dayton, following a straight line through the center of the city. At least the area north and east of downtown was spared.
Thought you knew. Downtown was not the only break in the levees. There were at least two other major breaks that we know about. A major one north near Steel Dam, another around Taylor Street.
When was this?
We do not know exactly. Information is hard to come by.
I thought it was the only one. We have been bringing in people all morning. They have all been roughly from the same area.
As far as we can tell, there seems to be two separate currents flowing from at least two locations. Until we can get some heavier, sturdier boats that can get further out, the north and south parts of the city are cut off from each other.
Then what's going on up there?
We do not know.
The government seems to have disappeared completely. The only organized relief effort is here, in the south, at NCR. If our efforts are limited to the south, what are they doing in the north end of the city?
They're completely on their own.
I live on Emerald Street. That would be right in the center of the flooding up there.
There's nothing we can do about that now, Mr. Stewart. I am sorry.
I have to leave now. I have to get to my family.
Mr. Stewart, look at that. There are three boats coming in, all full of people. You would think we had been running a relief organization for years as smoothly as this is operating. You have a family, so do I. So does everyone else here. We have to maintain this. We cannot stop the race off helter-skelter looking for people we cannot get to. We have to concentrate on saving the people we can. We cannot stop, Mr. Stewart. We cannot stop.
Lucy, Caroline, put the children up on the furniture. They can't be running around driving everyone crazy all night long.
Well, they can't sit on a pile of chairs all night.
Well, make it a game.
I feel dizzy.
I'm sorry, but there's no room. We'll all be sitting up all night as it is.
We cannot all hang from the ceiling.
I don't want to fall.
Don't worry. If you roll over, someone on the floor will break your fall.
Here. These boxes have Aunt Mabel's tablecloths in them. Put them over her. We can use them as blankets.
But they're only lace. These won't keep us warm.
Lucy, if you have a better suggestion, I would be more than happy to hear it.
Mama, I see Captain McIntyre's canoe.
Oh, no. Is he bringing more people?
Oh, I am sorry, but he cannot bring anyone else up here.
There are plenty of other places that are dry. We're not the only attic in Dayton.
Is he coming this way?
No, he's not. He's not there.
What do you mean? You saw his canoe.
He's not in it. It's just floating.
What do you mean he's not in it? Where is he?
I don't know.
Let me get up there. Oh, my God, he's right. The canoe's upside down.
Well, is he holding on? You can hold on to the side of a canoe very easily.
No, it's just bumpy on the side of the Goldblatt's house.
Well, perhaps he got out, and the canoe went on without him.
Yes, I'm sure that's what happened.
Captain Rupert McIntyre had spent most of that day rescuing people, pulling them out of the water and taking them to safe locations to wait out the flood. He was quite good at it. The captain had spent an entire career navigating in different bodies of water. He understood currents, eddies, and backwater. He could handle it all. What he could not have foreseen was a dog's need for dry land. According to witnesses, the captain stood up in the canoe for a moment to scout out a new location. As he did so, a dog swimming behind him frantically pulled himself into the canoe. The sudden change in balance flipped the canoe over, sending the captain headlong into the floodwaters of the Great Miami. His body was found a week later in a frozen cornfield 20 miles outside of Dayton, Ohio. Everyone who knew him agreed he would have loved to tell the story how his last rescue was of a purebred German Shepherd. The captain, unfortunately, was never able to tell that story, though it would be told by many others in the years to follow.
You're listening to The End of Emerald Street, an original radio production from WYSO and the Living History Theater Company. Our program will continue in just a moment.
Night also fell that Tuesday in March 1913 as the Great Miami River continued to confound all assumptions made of it. Once the levees had been breached, the water didn't recede as expected. Instead, the river seemed to have found its natural route directly through the middle of Dayton, Ohio. There was still over 12 feet of water in much of the city. The river continued to hold steady at 29 feet, 6 feet over flood level. It was clear that nothing would be done until the floodwaters passed through the city. With no rescue in sight, the survivors settled in for a long night.
Lucy, are you asleep?
I've not been able to sleep at all.
At least the children think this is a great adventure.
I knew I should have gotten up to Dayton View and stayed with my aunt and uncle. But I was so sure Harold would be back at any moment. I waited so we could go to higher ground together.
Harold is fine. He would have seen what was happening and gotten out in time.
Of course Harold is smart. I know he got out some way.
I did not plan this very well. David wanted to go to higher ground. I refused. I was just worried about all those poor people downtown who might get trapped. I'm freezing.
I'll try not to think about it. At least the peach preserves are good.
Thank you, dear.
Mr. Patterson, you see, it's over there towards the east.
Smoke. Downtown is on fire.
Look at those flames.
It appears to be around Cooper Park, over toward the library.
Jefferson Street, probably.
We cannot send anyone down there. It is much too far.
It could be done. The rowboats can go against the current.
Our volunteers are not trained firefighters. There's very little they can do. There is little anyone can do at this point.
The fire is huge if we can see the flames up here.
Yes, it is a very dangerous situation.
Especially for the people trapped in those buildings. There could be hundreds of people in that area. We have no way of knowing.
All right, Mr. Stewart. I agree. We do need to know what is happening down there. But only a couple of boats should go. Stay along the edges of the burning areas. Just assess the situation.
It's starting to snow. This may be good luck.
What do you mean? Those people must be freezing.
Yes, but the weather is all the fire control we have. Let us hope we get enough of it.
Can we go downstairs now?
Oh, it is a mess on the second floor. Mud everywhere. And there's still water on the first floor.
But we want to see it.
You might as well. But do not go down to the first floor without permission. Oh, no. They'll see all the wrecked houses. It will upset them.
Mama, come quickly. It is so wonderful.
What is so wonderful, dear?
Come into your room.
You have to close your eyes first. It's a surprise.
Now come out to your balcony.
Oh, my God.
What is it?
Lucy, come here.
Now what? Caroline, there's a horse on your second-story balcony.
Yes. Yes, there is.
What is everyone fussing about? My goodness!
Yes, it is a horse.
It must have been swimming for its life. This was the first solid land it saw. That poor thing must have been standing here at least overnight.
He likes us. He wants to stay.
We cannot keep him, Lily.
Why not?
Keep a horse on the bedroom balcony. Your father would not approve.
Poor thing. He still has his harness on.
How are we going to get him down? He cannot swim away now, and he can't jump down either.
Well, we'll have to build a ramp and walk him down.
This has been such a wonderful holiday. We got to stay home from school, play with our friends in the attic, turn the furniture into castles, eat nothing but peach preserves, and now I have a pony.
Can we stay up in the attic again next spring?
Hello? Anyone up there? Caroline!
Papa's home from work!
Oh my God, David!
Come inside. We're so happy to see you.
David, when you come in, just close your eyes. The house is ruined. There's mud everywhere. Awful, slimy river mud is covering everything, just inches of it.
Is everyone all right?
Everyone is fine. The Goldblatts are here and the Johnsons, except for Harold. We've not heard anything from him for almost 3 days.
I brought food and blankets and clean water. Has anyone seen there is a horse on the roof?
Papa, come inside. Mary and I made an underground castle, and then the boys took all the chairs. They won't share.
They are really mean.
We asked them nicely, but they won't share at all.
We have been good. We have been helping.
You and Mary go back up to the attic and tell your brothers they have to share or else, or else I will think of something to do about it later.
Mr. Stewart, our house has a hole in it.
Yes, Mary, I saw that. That happens to houses. Go back upstairs now.
David, thank goodness. The girl said you were here. Harold is missing.
He knows, dear.
The fires are out downtown. I can go and look for him.
David.
Make sure he is all right.
Oh, thank God. It would mean so much to me just to know he's safe.
I can check around his building. It didn't seem to be burnt. The water is dropping and the current is slower. I will be back here in a few hours and let you know if I find him.
Of course he will, Lucy.
Look, Caroline, the mud is coming out of the carpeting just fine. A little mixture of bleach and clear water will set everything right. We'll have this house clean before you know it.
It is all ruined, Mother. Everything here is ruined.
Nonsense! You come from a long line of women able to get river mud out of carpeting. Think of it as your heritage. Lucy can help. David, we'll see you soon.
David?
Darling, it is all right. I will be safe. NCR is packed with people. Thousands. They have to sleep on the floor or in tents on the lawn. Patterson is spending his own money to feed them all. We haven't gotten any help from the outside yet. We have to tell people it is safer just to sit tight until the river recedes, probably by tomorrow.
Well, if you see Harold, tell him we are fine. Do not tell him about the house. Just tell him that we're all safe.
I will.
David, Caroline was telling me you're thinking of building a bigger house.
I doubt very much that we can afford it.
No, I think you should. You still have a job. That's the most important thing. A growing family needs room. The last few days have made me realize how important that can be.
When will you be back?
I'm going back downtown to try and find Harold. I suspect he stayed with his building.
Just be careful.
My full intention.
Hey, Harold. If those crazy Wright brothers landed on this roof to rescue us in their flying machine, would you go?
No. Landing in water from 100 feet higher is not my idea of a decent rescue.
How big a flying machine?
Oh, how big do they get?
I see something.
What? What do you see?
Oh, no, I see it. I see a boat. It's a rowboat. There's someone coming this way. Oh, hey, look, Harold.
Harold, thank God. I didn't think you were alive.
I wasn't so sure about you either.
You were that close to the fire.
About 6 feet away.
We can get you out now. The gas mains have been switched off and the fires are out.
We got about 300-400 people up on this roof. People got trapped when the fires broke out. We all decided we couldn't go any further. We had to make a stand right here.
I can take anyone injured.
Take them up to NCR. They put a medical clinic up there. Water is dropping fast, and the rest can walk out tomorrow.
I don't want to seem ungrateful or anything, but considering we saved Dayton from burning up by stopping that fire, sitting up here another cold night and then walking out seems like a real, I don't know, wooden nickel rescue the city's given us.
Never mind, Jesse. We're getting kind of used to being up here. Did you get back to Emerald Street, Dave?
Yes, I did. Everyone's all right. They sent me to look for you.
Lucy and the children?
Everyone's fine.
My house still standing.
Hey, everyone is doing just fine, Harold.
By Thursday night, the Great Miami River had returned to its original banks and once again became the complacent, slow-moving river the citizens of Dayton were so fond of. But the damage left behind was massive. Martial law was declared and the property damage was estimated in the millions. Considering how unprepared the city was, the death toll was remarkably low. Approximately 120 citizens lost their lives directly in the flood. Part of the remarkably low casualty rate was because of the informal extensive rescue operations and the organization abilities of the National Cash Register Company. Yet much of it was due to the determination of individuals to save themselves.
Every time I come here and look at this street, I cannot completely see it. This was my street. I knew every inch of it. I've been in everyone's house. I knew every plant in their gardens. Now I'm just looking at a muddy path and piles of wood.
This street will be back. The city will see to it.
No, they won't. Why should they? The plan is for the city to just offer us the cost of the land our houses were sitting on, and then extend the park all the way to the end of the avenue.
That makes sense. A small street, a small park. Would you consider taking the offer?
I already have.
They cannot just take it from us. We could bring Emerald Street back.
If the city wants it, let them have it. Save yourself the fuss.
It's not just this street. Dayton will come back.
I don't care much at this point. When it all happened, you know, I was calm. I was joking. I was sharp. But afterwards, I'd suddenly find myself weak and shaking like a leaf. I don't like that feeling.
You have lived here all your life. So have I.
They're saying, do not forget the promises made in the attic. Well, I remember my promise. I didn't promise to bring Dayton back. My promise was to never put myself or my family through this again. I still remember that promise.
We will make sure that a flood like this does not happen again, ever. We will not give up.
I've already accepted another job.
Another job? What about your printing plant?
The empty building with waterlogged junk inside? I sold that as well. Didn't get much, but enough to get us to Indiana, which is as far as I need to go. A former employee of mine started a newspaper of his own. Had a falling out with his partner. He needs a new partner. You never liked the paper I worked for anyway, and I just pretended I did.
I just didn't think you'd quit.
I was happy here. I don't want to be constantly reminded of that. I'd rather just move on.
You don't understand. We'll do it better this time.
I'm sure you will. Goodbye, Dave. And hey, keep saving your city.
It was just a few days after the flood, as a broken city attempted to return to normal, that Mr. Adam Shantz paid a call on Mr. George B. Smith, president of the Chamber of Commerce. Mr. Shantz pointed out that for the city of Dayton, it could no longer be business as usual. A great crisis called for a great response. Mr. Shantz proposed that the citizens of Dayton and vicinity come together to create an emergency fund with which to obtain the best engineering advice and best possible plan for flood prevention or control. The old answers had not worked. It was time now for new answers.
I want the best individuals possible on the Flood Prevention Committee. Here is my list. Please coordinate their schedules for me. We must meet as soon as possible.
Governor James Cox?
I insist on it. This project cannot work without him.
The legal matters are not yet resolved.
Yes, well, what are a few lawsuits between old friends? Tell my attorneys to settle.
Charles Kettering? You fired him several times, including once for falling off his horse.
As I should have. If a man cannot control one horse, how can he control a team?
I would argue that horses and employees cannot be treated the same.
Your opinion, Mr. Beringer. I have discovered that both men and horses should be treated well, shown the direction you want them to go in, let them have their heads, but keep a steady hand on the reins. That philosophy has worked out well for me in both cases.
Charles Deeds? You know he was the one who went behind your back and kept rehiring Kettering every time you fired him.
Yes, it was irritating. Colonel Deeds is a man with strong independence of thought, something I have always admired from a distance, only from a distance.
Who is this? I don't recognize the name. Arthur Morgan?
The best flood control engineer this side of the Mississippi. Probably the other side as well. I understand he is also honest.
What?
Unbelievable, I know, to be both smart and honest.
In that case, we need to move quickly to get him in place.
Deeds has been warned that City Council is about to name their own flood control engineer.
This is a huge opportunity for graft.
Get Morgan here fast, but do not tell him he is hired yet. Bring him to Dayton, have him tour the city, hold a regular employment interview. If he knows how much we wanted him, he might be tempted to raise his fees.
This is a project with great possibilities. This could be a wonderful opportunity to show what can be done with flood control. Not just in Dayton, but around the world.
I'm glad you think so, Mr. Morgan. You have some very interesting ideas. Oh, here he is. Mr. Morgan, this is Mr. Patterson, director of the Dayton Flood Prevention Committee.
So this is the esteemed Arthur Morgan. A pleasure, sir. Please be seated. I realize you are a busy man. I do not want to take up much of your time. Let us begin the employment interview.
Now?
You're a busy man. Now, what do you have to tell us?
I have given this project a great deal of thought.
You have been thinking. Excellent.
Flood prevention should not consist of piling more dirt on top of levees. It only works for the short term. Flood prevention is about the water. This project must start with a full understanding of how a river system behaves. How it can be accommodated, the way a river thinks.
Very interesting, Mr. Morgan. You need explain no further. Please go over this carefully with Mr. Stewart. He is my liaison with you on this project.
I am?
I am talking about an entirely different way of looking at this. Even as a boy, I used to study how a river flowed. The way I wish to do this, it would be a very ambitious project.
We are very ambitious men, Mr. Morgan.
Flood control on this level would need to be an organic process. Finding the solution to this waterway might take years of research and planning. I would want thorough preparation.
We are not planning to move Dayton anytime soon. You will have all the preparation you need, Mr. Morgan. I have a good feeling about you. You are hired.
This is quite remarkable.
Welcome to Dayton, Mr. Morgan.
Is the interview over? I thought you wanted more information, my background.
I said, welcome to Dayton, Mr. Morgan.
I am talking about controlling the course of a river. This project will be expensive. I have to be truthful, it may well be $2 million.
Mr. Morgan, flood control is your area of expertise. Accurately counting money is mine. $3 to $4 million is more likely, but let's not quibble. I will guarantee $5 million, and in return, you guarantee me a dry city. Do we understand each other, Mr. Morgan?
I believe we do, Mr. Patterson.
Good. Please go with Mr. Beringer. The employment contract is in his office. What on earth was he ranting about? What was that about organic systems, how a river behaves? Do you understand anything he was saying, Mr. Stewart?
It is very logical thinking. Brilliant, in fact. It seems a completely new way of looking at flood control engineering based on sheer common sense. I must say I was impressed.
I am glad you were impressed. Keep a very close eye on him all the same. Report to me if he runs off the tracks. It was Deeds and Kettering's call to hire him, but if we need to sack him, I want it done as quickly as possible. Well?
He signed.
Call the rest. Tell them we bagged him. Call the newspapers. Front page story tomorrow announcing that Arthur Morgan has been hired as project director. Send notes to everyone on City Council, confidentially, of course, letting them know that they were too slow. We got our man in. And not to bother trying to cut a deal with him. Arthur Morgan is honest. If they do not know the meaning of the word, have them look it up in a dictionary. It starts with an H. I am on my way to the Victoria Theater to lead the sing-along at the salesman's monthly meeting.
Here is your sheet music. The top quota salesman for the month, Mr. Firestone, picked out the first song. When We Were Young, my dear.
Good. I've always liked that one. We will sing Mr. Firestone's favorite song and present him with a bonus check. Then I am going home early. I'm going to have an early day tomorrow. I have to figure out how to raise $5 million. That is the sum we need to keep Mr. Arthur Morgan happy, and I want a happy Morgan. Let us start with a parade. Everyone likes a parade. And a big cash register, built on the courthouse steps, rings every time a contribution is made. And a band. NCR needs a marching band. Oh, this is going to be quite a grand adventure, gentlemen. A grand, grand adventure.
During the fundraising campaign that followed the Great Flood of 1913, a huge banner was hung in front of the courthouse in Dayton to remind citizens, remember the promise you made in the attic. The promises made were fulfilled. The flood control methods developed soon after were ones that were studied and duplicated throughout the world. Never again would a flood of this magnitude trouble the Miami Valley.
You've been listening to The End of Emerald Street, an original radio production from WYSO and the Living History Theater Company. The End of Emerald Street was written by Kay Reimers, narrated and produced by Jerry Kenny, original music composed by Justin Vanderberg. Our cast included Dan Davis, Howard Shook, Miriam Eckenrode, Micah Lindsay, Evan Pitstick, Flo Lorenz, Mary Kay Clark, Jason Sine, Doug Hinckley, Gary Reimers, Troy Lindsay, Caroline, Tony Dallas, Carrie Speck, Tanya Woodland, Vicki Walters, Charlotte Walkie, Jovan King, and Mike Greer. Now broadcasting in HD, WYSO is a service of Antioch University for the Miami Valley. On 91.3 WYSO, Yellow Springs, Dayton, Springfield, and on the internet at wyso.org.